It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Johnny 8.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jared Carabas is from Barstool Sports. He does the Section 10 podcast. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Carabas, hello, sir.
Good morning.
Did you see Jimmy Stewart out there at the big wrestling event?
I did not, honestly. I didn't even know that. I've kind of fallen out of wrestling a little bit, which is sad. I think it's been my distance with Kowloon after moving to New York.
I was going to say, there are some people that are probably weeping openly in Kowloon right now hearing that news.
I know. It's something that the second that I move back to Boston, it'll be the first thing that I rectify.
Yeah, because Sarge was sporting a Kowloon sweatshirt.
Oh, he's got all the swag.
We needed you here, Jared. We really needed you here badly.
We had Lacey Evans up here, and Sarge, of course, expectedly creeped around during the interview.
Oh, what kind of questions did he ask?
Well, first of all, we were asking questions, and Sarge like buzzed and goes, "This is my show. This is my interview." We're like, "What are you doing? This is weird."
but
he's kind of peacocking and for no reason. It was very strange. And when she showed up, and was in, you know, you've been in our studio before. Right outside of the window, there's a little seating area. So we're sitting here on the air, and I see Lacey Evans and her people show up. And within, like, 10 seconds, he comes out like the face hugger from the Alien movie and just walks right up to her with one of his belts that he bought at Toys R Us and is talking about his belt. He's got a special bag for his belt. He's showing it off.
He has, like, a legit bag that he bought specifically to transport his belts in.
I mean, that's an alpha dog move. I mean, I expect nothing less from Sarge to just have something. I mean, he knows how this works, and he's done this before. He's a consummate professional, and you know what? I respect the move from Sarge.
Yeah, and then we tried to get him into another room so he would have something to talk to her about, and he was like a wet cat. Like, you couldn't
pull him away from her.
Yeah, you couldn't catch her. And I'll tell you what, like, I'm not positive of the appeal of Lacey Evans. I mean, she's whatever, but Joe Murray... Oh, very into it. Very into it.
Oh, he was like, he had this like weird, like cat who ate the canary smiling
look. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just the whole time. Like, he couldn't stop smiling. It was almost as if he was intoxicated.
But he couldn't look at her, which was pretty funny too. He was,
I think, I don't know who would be worse. Would it be Sarge with Lacey Evans or Jay Stu, very fond of Charlotte?
I was
that's
unaware
true.
Of that.
No, that's true.
But
I've seen
but
that.
But isn't Charlotte good looking?
She's not unattractive. I think she's not one of like the WWE women's wrestlers who tries to look like a pinup doll. Like, she's Ric Flair's daughter. She's there to kick some ass.
Okay. Yeah, because Lacey Evans is a very big girl, muscular girl, a little too much for my taste. But nonetheless,
All right. So you were at something this weekend that we talked about a little bit on the air, and that was the David Ortiz real estate sale, where he was selling off a bunch of just random crap that apparently, like, tchotchkes he's been given for years. Now, as somebody who obviously is a massive fan of David Ortiz, was it something you found fascinating, or was it something you found depressing?
I think it would have been depressing if for whatever reason, it came out that David Ortiz needed the money, but I don't think he needs the money. I mean, he made plenty from his career, and he's still doing Fox, and he sells everything under the sun. So I would imagine he's doing just fine financially. Pretty sure he's just moving to Miami is what's happening.
But don't you find it odd, though, that he would even, like, I know he probably didn't do any of it, but he would even bother?
I think he just left it in, like, someone's custody, and they're like,
no,
oh,
I know he did,
it.
But, like, why would you even bother doing it? Like, you're selling a bunch of crap. Like, I don't know. All right, so.
Yeah, I think, well, there was a lot of stuff in there that I think, like, it would have been a shame if it just got thrown away. Like, the stuff in his house, like, whatever, like, you can toss that if you want to. But there was a lot of, so the way that it worked was there was this big line outside of the gate. And then once you got a gate, once you got through the gate, you got a number. And the number that you got was just for, like, the household items. And then when you got inside, they gave you a number for the memorabilia room. So there's two different lines that you had to wait in. And the memorabilia room had tons of stuff in it. Like, I think the first few people that walked in spent like 15, probably the eBay virgins that go in there and spend money to resell on eBay or whatever. But then there was still a ton of stuff left. And it was actually the highlight of the day was we were probably in line for about, I don't know, an hour and a half at that point, maybe 2 hours. And this 60-year-old woman just walks out carrying two bottles of Tide bleach. And she was like, this is all they had left. There's nothing. Don't waste your time. There's nothing else in there.
That's not just Tide bleach. That's David Ortiz's Tide bleach.
Well, I mean, maybe you get a deal on it. Who knows? I don't know if there's a markup or what the deal is.
Okay. Let's get to that. Because I've seen, you know, I've seen the memorabilia stuff, and you're right. And I don't know if it was you or somebody else who wrote that there was a videotape that he had of all of his home runs.
Oh, I bought that, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's legitimately kind of interesting that he had a videotape with all of his home runs. But let's talk about the least valuable things that were for sale that people were buying. What else did you see that you were like, oh, this is really weird that David Ortiz is selling this off?
Oh, man. I saw some people walk out with some weird stuff. Like I saw one dude walk out. I actually wanted this item, so I can't really criticize him very much, but I think it's weird that he only bought this. He had some moose. The plural of moose is moose, for anyone that's wondering. But he walked out with moose lawn decorations. And that was it. I saw a lot of people walk out with just things that you could buy at Target, which I found interesting because I wanted some sort of memorabilia item, which I bought I bought a David Ortiz jumpsuit that I tried on last night, and there was still a toothpick in the pocket. Game
worn, nice. Baby.
You take that DNA and make another David Ortiz.
Right. So I had my David Ortiz jumpsuit and the game used toothpick, and then I bought the DVD that has every single home run he's ever hit in his career. Pretty cool, $5, great deal. And then I bought like a glass that like I'm gonna use for like the Jameson. It's my Jameson glass now. he had his like Christmas decorations out. Like there were people there that were just shopping for their own home. There was one woman. there was one woman that walked out with this big pot, and we were like, "Hey," we were just like interviewing people as they were coming out. We were like, "Hey, what are you going to make in that thing?" She was like, "Spaghetti."
Were people unaware that this was David, or did they just go, "Ooh, yard sale"?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there had to be those people because, I mean, like, you don't go to David Ortiz's estate sale and just walk out with a crock pot.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
How many people showed up to this? Give me a little bit of an idea of a scale of like the amount of people.
Like, I don't know. I'm bad at this. Like, the guess the jelly bean in the jar thing. I'd say like 500 plus, maybe.
Wow, that's impressive.
We're going all day. I know people slept outside the night before. I know people got there at 10 p.m. the night before. It started at 8 and it went until 4 p.m. I think we got in line at like 7:30 a.m. We didn't get in the house until probably noon, and then we left around like 2 p.m. and people were still, like, the line was just as long when we left as when we got there. So
I actually understand sleeping out for that.
Oh, sure.
Like,
I mean, I could see that. Now, how much?
Because what would you rather do? Sit in line for 2 hours or just, like, be able to get in and
get
out?
Well, but the thing is if you're a huge David Ortiz, I mean, that really, I hate to say it, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
No, I'm saying, legitimately, I could see spending the night there.
How much of the crap that you saw there that was for sale was from his farewell tour? Like all the teams who gave him,
like,
remember
a
every place he would,
like a bat, like a chair made out of broken bats and things
like David Ortiz on it. Like, I mean, there was a bunch of this stuff, and I'm like, these are tchotchkes that teams probably
the
gave
Arizona
him.
Diamondbacks gave him on his last trip.
Oh yeah, there was like a custom David Ortiz like vitamin water refrigerator or something that he had.
Yeah, there was stuff like that. I don't think I saw anything from the farewell tour. I don't think there was anything that he was kind of like putting up for grabs that was of great sentimental value. I know that. I mean, there was, I think, like the only thing that was kind of left there that that maybe he would have liked to have was like his, he had his 2007 All-Star Game jersey was there and it was framed. Like, that was pretty cool. But everything else, unless people got to it before we got there, nothing was like, oh, wow, I can't believe that that's, you know, for sale. I mean, I'm sure he kept a lot of the good stuff. There is a personalized Ellen DeGeneres autograph to his wife, which I'm sure Ellen.
$1 million. $1 million.
So, well, that was disappointing.
All right, so I mean that sounds awesome. But baseball side of things, from other people you've talked to, what's going on right now with the investigation? Because this can't be good, right, Jared? Because they keep moving back that they're going to announce what's happening. And at first it was like, oh yeah, there's nothing to see here. And then you find that they're going back, they're double backing and asking like a second round of questions to these guys. And that can't be good. So what are you hearing as far as what they're going to find on the Red Sox?
Yeah. I mean, I understand that the longer that goes on, the worse it kind of looks because they're still looking and they're triple checking everything. But I just find it very hard to believe that you would have so many key contributors from that team commenting on an investigation that is currently ongoing, all of them saying we didn't do anything, and then have it come out that they did something. Like and these are all, it'd be different. Like, so here's what I've kind of compiled over the last few months is that I'm pretty sure that of the three rats from the Athletic story, that two of them were pitchers. So I'm pretty sure of that. And if those guys were pitchers, why would they be in the replay room? So I think that they have like, you know, secondhand, like hearsay information that they're passing off to the Athletic. And then if the league is investigating the team, they're talking to the hitters, the guys that would have actually benefited from this. And they're all publicly saying, hey, we didn't do anything. So you have to believe that they're not going to MLB being like, yeah, we cheated. Here's what we did. And then when they get asked for a quote from reporters, they're like, yeah, we actually didn't do anything. So the MLB is probably getting the exact same story from the hitters that they're getting vice versa. So I find it really hard to believe that anything actually beyond what the Athletic said, like if they use the video replay room to decode signs, there's no smoking gun. Like with the Astros investigation, that you had like the YouTubers going out there and compiling all these clips of the trash can bangs. And it's like, all right, well, you kind of have to confess to this because we have all the videotapes. You have nothing on the Red Sox. Like if you're going to interview the actual Red Sox, most of them are still there. Why would they be like, yeah, this is what we did. You know, we're going to confess here. We were looking at the video replay room to decode signs. You can't prove that. Like there was no league official the entire season in those rooms. And my podcast co-host Coley pointed this out on the last episode that we did. When all these players are coming out against the Astros, the Cody Bellingers of the world, Max Muncy's, all these guys that from the Dodgers, that they're like, hey, you know, you stole an MVP from Aaron Judge in 2017, and you took the World Series from us in 2017. Why wouldn't they be like, hey, Mookie won the MVP in 2018, and you beat us up in 2018 in the World Series? None of them are saying that because if the worst thing that the Red Sox did is use the video room to decode signs, the Red Sox are not the only team that's doing that. It's just it just so happened to be that Evan Drellick only had sources in the two markets that he worked in before he went to the Athletic. If he dug around on all these other teams, Of course other teams were using the video room to decode signs in 2018 because there was no one in there to stop them until the postseason. So that's why you're not getting other players speaking out against the Red Sox. And that's why if it does come out, I think that there will be some sort of punishment, but only because of the Apple Watch thing. It's technically a second offense of whatever, like illegal sign stealing, using technology to steal signs. It's the second offense, but it is not even in the same stratosphere as what the Astros were doing.
Do you believe they use buzzers?
I honestly was 100% sure after the AJ Hinch MLB Network interview when he just straight up wouldn't say no.
He just
kept deflecting to the investigation. But then you have, I think, Springer maybe said no. Because there were guys that even after AJ Hinch and they held that press conference, Jose Altuve deflected to the same report. And then you had, I think, Josh Reddick just straight up said no. But then there's kind of like this working theory that only certain guys had them. So I did find it interesting that Altuve originally deflected to the report, and then after a couple of other guys said no, then he came back around and said no. But I think if anything, the most believable scenario is that not everyone had a buzzer. It was probably just the guys that, you know, were locked in with long-term contracts and that were not coming up on free agency anytime soon.
How if you're a pitcher, how long into the season are you thrown at him?
I feel like it's going to be at least the first half. I mean, once you start seeing they come to Yankee Stadium in late September. So I would imagine that series is going to have some fireworks in it. But I do know that there are some pitchers that are planning like their walkout songs to be very in your face to the Astros. There are going to be some subliminal messages.
Ooh, what's some good cheating songs or some good buzzer songs? I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah.
It's something like that.
Hit me with your best shot before he cheats by Carrie Underwood. That's a good one.
Ooh, Carrie Underwood.
Stuff like that. There's already been some pitchers that have said that they're going to do that privately. So I wonder how many are going to follow suit once that starts to happen.
Yeah, I was talking to a guy who's close with C.J. Wilson, and he said C.J. Wilson was like apoplectic. Like if he was pitching right now, he would just be just nailing them every single time they were up.
I just want to go to a game where the starting pitcher takes them out and there's already somebody warming up in the bullpen.
That's when you know.
To me,
you're allowed to hit guys.
Here we go.
You're allowed to hit one guy. I mean, they can't kick you out if you hit one guy.
They might start doing that. Didn't that thing come out where they were going to give the refs like even more power
judgment? Ridiculous. What, I mean, if guys get hit by accident.
See, in this case, because the commissioner doesn't want to look like a jackass, or he already does. If you turn on the TV and every day on SportsCenter there's a Houston Astro getting plunked,
if I'm playing
at some point he's gonna put out a mandate that all right, you got to start
if I'm playing a three game series, I don't think I'm gonna hit them every time that they're up, but I mean, I might send a message. All right, Jared Carrabas, congratulations on the videotape and all
Thank
the
you.
Other things.
Did you get the asparagus rug? Were you the one who got the asparagus rug?
No, that one got taken way before me. I was very disappointed. Also, the custom David Ortiz hoverboard, that one got taken before I got in there. So.
All right, well, you know.
But you couldn't fly home with that anyway.
Yeah, next time, plan ahead.
Yeah. That's right.
All right, Jared Carrabas, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Thank you, guys.
See you, man.
I appreciate it. We'll be right back.
Tucker and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The second free throw is no good. Rebound. Harden lost it. Smart. Pops it free. It's in Jaylen Brown's hands. Three is in the air. He got it. He got it. It happened. You ask for a miracle. When Marcus Smart's hands touch the basketball, miracles can happen. And the Celtics, down to their absolute last strike, have forced overtime on a stunning Saturday night finish in Boston.
I never believed in a higher power until that play. I mean, it was truly a miracle. A miracle that James Harden tries so little.
Well, on one end of the floor.
Oh, no. He's you know who's also hot on the half-court shots now is LeBron. He started to take three-quarter shots. Mm-hmm. Must be nice.
I'd
be 6'8", cut like a Greek god, be able to jump out of the gym and be able to hit
What's the three-point line at? How many feet?
I think it's 23.9, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so say 24. So yeah. Say to hit 34-footers.
Yeah.
Must be nice just to pull up and
he
hit.
He had a triple-double in, like, less than 35 minutes last night or something
he's
like that.
He's playing out of his mind.
Well, but that's the. But if you think, again, if you think your child is going to play pro, these guys now are 6'8 and can hit 44-foot jumpers with semi-regularity. Like, it's like the game is unfair. They got to raise the rim. There's, like, a bunch of stuff they got to do.
It is pretty funny.
Because it's gotten way too easy. Like, I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't even try to rebound on that play if you're Harden. I don't know why, like, you wouldn't even, like, stick your hands up. Like, you're out there.
Well, speaking of not trying, did you see LeBron inbounds the ball by dribbling it in?
Yes.
Oh, it was awesome. He had some dribbling the ball in. Do we have that play?
Did they even call a foul?
Did they whistle?
Oh, yeah.
So he's done it before, and they haven't done it, but this time, they actually did call a foul on him. He was trying to, inbounding the ball. Here it is, right here. Dan, can you turn this up? Here we go. You got it?
I have it if he doesn't.
It's right here. Dan, you got the computer? Okay. Or anything.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's a great play.
I have it.
Okay, John, you play.
I have it. Here we go. Pop me up.
Frank Vogel was going to challenge it, but there's no challenges on those plays inside 2 minutes. So.
Oh, he just violated. LeBron James just violated.
He can't believe it. He's like, I cannot believe I just
did. He's had a couple of those brain cramps this year where he's traveled, not really thinking, and watch here. Just not thinking.
What is he doing?
That's not the first time we've seen something like that. Remember in Utah when he traveled, like took 5 steps and they didn't call it?
All right.
Yeah, why would he?
That's Doris Burke.
I've never once heard it referred to as violating the end line.
Nope.
Well, you're obviously not a student in the game.
Let me hear that once. Are you alone? I mean, she freaked out.
Here we go.
Frank Vogel was going to challenge it, but there's no challenges on those plays inside 2 minutes. So.
Oh, he just violated. LeBron James just violated the end line.
I mean, it's just speak English. Like, what is that? You dribbled the ball in.
Yep.
You didn't inbounds the ball. You dribbled it in.
Yep.
Oh, that was so funny, too, because he gets so lazy. And there's been, of course, I mean, there's videos of him. Matter of fact, earlier in the season, there was a time where he was dribbling the ball down the court, and then he held the ball and, like, went and pointed at a few things and then started dribbling the ball again, and they didn't count it. They didn't call him on it.
Why would he concern himself with traveling?
Because he can basically do anything he wants.
Yes, they're not going to call him for traveling.
But he is in love with Jason Tatum. He loves Jason Tatum.
Well, that's the thing is he said everyone can kiss my ass.
He did.
Because he loves a lot of guys. So, he loves the kid from Atlanta.
Zion played Zion Williamson last night. Loves him.
Mm-hmm. So after the game, they asked him about that. Like, you know, what do you talk about these young guys, and you went and talked to him after the games, and he said...
This league, you've talked about it, is in great hands with Ja Morant, with Zion. You just had a conversation with him. What was that conversation like?
That's up to him to tell y'all. I don't really do it for the publicity. I do it for the love of the game, and I do it for the guys that's coming after me that have the same passion I believe I had when I came up too. So, like I said, the league is in great hands with a guy like Zion, Ja Morant, Luka Doncic, Trae Young, Jason Tatum, and the list goes on and on. So, and I'm just happy to be a part of it and be on the floor with those guys in their younger days.
All right, I could read his lips. They were talking about This Is Us. They were breaking down the latest episode.
Oh, they were. Mandy Moore and her band coming into town.
Oh, well, that's something to see.
Get ready to rock.
What venue are they selling out?
They're playing like the Orpheum.
Wow. All right.
For some reason, that's in my weird Facebook algorithm.
All I get is in my Facebook algorithm is this spiritual stuff that seems to be for mental patients.
Right. I mean, maybe our algorithm is telling us more about
spiritual unite. Like, and it's like all this like meditation stuff and like, hey, calm down.
So after the game, someone up to him and said, hey, LeBron, why are you being so cool with these other players?
Anybody that says that, you know, LeBron, why would he do that while he's playing? It's a show and sign of weakness. You know, he's buddy-buddy with the guys that he's going against. Tell him to kiss my ass. With a smile, too.
Oh, my goodness. Ooh-wee. What are you doing there?
Look out.
put your butt, your lips on my backside.
Holy moly. Who have you been hanging out with, this guy?
Hey, Boston. Kiss my ass twice.
He's got a little Fesco in him.
Yeah. In serious news, ladies and gentlemen, I never, you know, people say fake news and you're like, whatever. Like, it's not fake, but there is fake news coming out that Maroon 5 played a show where people were disappointed. Now, I mean, I saw that headline and I said, who's the hater?
Are those the haters calling you?
Probably. It's the 5 fan club.
You are the president.
saying it's about time you address this.
But I think after we come back from John Wallach's headlines, the excuse is something we all can understand.
Well, no, the excuse is just doesn't make sense because he's always like that.
Yeah. Sometimes you try a little too hard to be sexy. And sometimes you don't have to try at all.
I think he's even sexier when he's not trying. I just like the Epiphone tattoo. I love guitar.
It's got to suck to be on 93 right now. I'm just, all I'm seeing is pictures coming in.
It's all like, you have to take 93 North.
Huh? Oh, he's here. Of course he doesn't have to. He's here. He wouldn't be here if he had to take 93 with that accident.
He lives south of here. I thought maybe. All right.
I'll take 93 North.
It wasn't that bad?
Get off way before the Tip O'Neill tunnel.
Randolph.
Oh, yeah. All right. Come on.
All right. Okay.
All right.
I do not know what crack is, Wallach.
What?
I know. I mean, Wallach acts like he hasn't smoked crack. All right. We'll be home. We'll be home. We'll be back.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Everyone get off of 93 North. The Stack is sponsored by Window Nation. We all live in a Window Nation. That's why we have
the black suits on and the hat, and we all dance together in unison.
We all have headsets.
We are a part of the Window Nation.
It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com.
Now, for all those people who went to the old Guy Fieri Tequila Kachina, and you showed up and you said, you know what? This place, it's not Fieri enough. Matter of fact, all the reviews are saying this place, you know, it's named after him.
Yeah, it's like this could be Joe Schmo's. No, Delish Cafe.
Yeah, like I need refrigerators with flames on it. I need Boeing shirts for sale. I need more Guy Fieri. Well, guess what, my friends? Your wish just came true. Because Guy Fieri heard your complaints and said, you want more Fieri? You sons of bitches of Boston are getting it because he's opening two new restaurants right here in town.
Why are they all in town?
Because that's where the party is.
Well, no, but bring the party somewhere that's not a traditional party place. I mean, like,
it might be too extreme for a place like Revere.
Let's go North Attleboro.
I think it's, dude, come on. You think they can handle going in and buying knuckle sandwich silverware? Or cooking utensils?
I mean, I'm already partying when I'm downtown. I mean,
winner, chicken dinner.
Well, listen. All I know is that this announcement just came out, and apparently he's opening two new Guy Fieri concepts.
Yeah. It's conceptual, baby.
Guy Fieri's Boston Kitchen and Bar. And Fred, one simply just titled, Chicken Guy. With an exclamation. It's Chicken Guy with an exclamation point. So it's Chicken Guy.
I want to go there.
Ma. Ooh la la.
They should just call it Chicken Guy. Like, actually spell it out. It's Chicken Guy.
It could be called Dead Animal.
Would be the official name.
Sure. Like, what do you want? And the strange thing is, in talking about a concept, there's no chicken.
No, it's just...
It's a guy. Place.
That's right.
I'm chicken riding shotgun. I'm on my way to Flavortown.
Yes, you are. The only thing that's kind of a bummer, truly, is that they're taking away Explorator. Oh, they're closing it today? Like, I liked Explorator.
Yeah, right. Okay. Not as much as I like Chicken Guy.
Hell no. No, it's Chicken Guy.
What is he just like? It's just like chickens, like, rung up by their necks, like, all over the place.
It's you know, chickens with frosted tips.
No, they just, they let you defeather at your table.
Sure, that's how they make it extreme. You can smack it on the head, kill yourself. That's what makes it extreme.
Smack it on the head and kill itself?
Strangle it with an Ed Hardy t-shirt.
With the what they hand that out at the door.
You can drown him in Drakkar Noir at Chicken Guy.
I have a coupe that I make exclusively with mesh from Ed Hardy hats. Recycling them, baby.
Isn't this exactly what people wanted, though, in the first place?
Yes.
You wanted the guy for
your
experience.
I bet you it's good.
Dude, I told you, the place, the Tequila Cucina is legitimately, like, tasty.
Yeah, yeah, but that's not, like, and I'm being honest.
Okay, so this one right here, the kitchen, this is the same restaurant I ate at in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I had it, and it was delicious.
Yeah.
But it's like, piles of food.
Yeah, I mean, it's super corny, but I mean.
And it's a fun place to go.
Of course it is, if you have a sense of humor.
Sure. I don't know if I can bring my mom there, though, because, you know, it's in an old Masonic temple, and, you know, that's... Fortunately, you know, she'll start eating.
Her head will do 360.
Right, you know, all of a sudden she'll start, like, spinning all over the place. The Invisible Man, number one at the box office, $29 million. That movie looks good.
Yes.
Like, that's one I actually want to see. They did a really smart thing. You know, remember about, like, a year and a half ago, Universal, like, completely jumped the gun, and they look like jackasses now because they wanted, you know, how there's, like, a Marvel universe and there's this Star Wars universe. They came out with something that they called the Dark Universe. And the first movie in the Dark Universe was Tom Cruise in The Mummy. Well, what happened was The Mummy sucked. They were going to have all of these, like, classic monsters. They even had a photo of them together. I guess Johnny Depp was going to be the Invisible Man. Russell Crowe was going to be Jekyll and Hyde. And had all of them, like, doing this big pose. And when that Tom Cruise movie blew at the box office, they canceled everything. And they said, let's start all over. Let's instead try to make these movies, good, instead of just having these stars star in them. So they did this movie, The Invisible Man, which is kind of cool because it's about this woman whose husband, abusive husband, like, dies. But she's convinced that he's actually just been able to turn himself invisible. And she basically gets revenge on her by, like, torturing her, and everyone thinks she's crazy. That sounds like a cool movie. And the guy who directed it's the dude who wrote Saw, which the first couple Saw movies are actually pretty good. But he directed a movie called Upgrade, which came out last year. You want to talk about if it's just in the middle of the night, you got nothing to watch. Watch a movie called Upgrade. It's about a dude who, like, some guy just puts all this stuff into his body that makes him, like, this super mega human where he can just kill anybody on command. It's awesome. It's like a total midnight movie. It might be 70 minutes long, but it rules. That's one of those, like, under the radar, great films that nobody talks about. Upgrade.
Well, Friday at the Toucher House is movie night with the children.
What'd you end up watching?
Turner and Hooch.
The dog dies. Yeah, that movie sucks.
It's not upsetting because the dog dies, and then they get, the next scene is that they get the new dog.
Yeah, that was to, like, make up for
a
bad
thing. Puppy,
you can't kill
closet.
The dog.
Come on now.
Yeah. You don't kill the dog.
Well, the dog died a hero.
Eat the muffin. Eat the damn muffin. By the way, the Fast and the Furious franchise. Oh, I forgot about this.
Well, are we going to get to Maroon 5?
You want to get to Maroon 5?
Yeah, I mean, it's all, we're just treading water.
Before
to get to
Maroon 5,
story.
I just have to say the Fast and the Furious is adding a new actor.
Dude, don't do that.
You,
Ben
Stiller. You are my friend. Oh, yeah.
Ben Stiller is now a member of the Fast and the Furious franchise. Geez. So there you go.
Smart. Wants to make some money.
You have to do that. All right, so should we get to Maroon 5?
Yeah, all right. You know, the term fake news is thrown around, and it's met with cynicism, but this is about as fake as it gets. So go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? If you play, you would know that. You would say,
that says Super Bowl 53 Maroon 5. I don't know what the hell that is. That's not
that
Maroon 5.
That was someone reacting to it. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
I dare you not to move. If you're trapped on 93, just let your brain go, man.
So Adam Levine is apologizing to fans.
Yeah, that's the last thing you have to do, Adam. I apologize for not being more like you.
They said they were 30 minutes late to their set.
So
fans
what?
Complained that they lacked the energy to interact with the audience.
Yeah, okay. 30 minutes late for the five.
And Instagram,
it's called anticipation.
The Instagram story that he put up there, he said, to be totally frank, there were some things hold me back last night.
Oh, Levine. I mean, but listen, Levine at 25% is still better than anybody.
He said, it impacted how I was behaving on stage, which is unprofessional, and I apologize for that.
Whatever is bothering you, dude, just put it in the art.
Just pop it into the art? He said, I struggle a lot.
Harness it, baby, and put it back into the art. You know that song, This Love Is... That was after a suicide of a friend.
I don't think that's true at all.
Why not?
He said, unfortunately, he was trying too hard to look good on television. That's why he...
real try hard. Please, come on.
As if it's not the easiest thing in the world.
Just take your shirt off and let me see that butterfly. You have such cool tattoos.
Amazing nipples.
He's got a mohawk now, too. It's super punk.
So the CDC is warning men about facial hair dangers as the coronavirus spreads. As a matter of fact, they say that there are certain mustaches and beards.
About 2 hours a week, I have facial hair.
You really are younger. I appreciate
that. Especially when I'm with the Kalahuchi twins.
They actually really...
I think you should work your way up the alphabet. This is getting too easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're all. Do you notice they're all Italian or Polish?
I was just going to say that was B. This is C. I mean, come on.
It's usually with Polish. A ski at the end.
Yeah. I love Polish chicks.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Well,
they got big knockers.
They released a graphic, which is fantastic. It's got a bunch of pictures of faces and facial hairs that you can use. Now, handlebar, walrus, and Zorro mustaches are fine, but the CD says that folks might need to lose their Fu Manchu, their Salvador Dalis. Who has a Salvador Dali?
The eccentric artist,
apparently. Standard beards and chops are also risky, as the hair could come in contact with a respirator's exhalation valve, reducing the effectiveness. The graphic says.
Well, so many religious people are now going to have to shave.
they might have to throw your
whole culture out the window.
Goatees, good to go. So John Wallach back in 1996, you are safe, my friend. But only if
a mouth, the lady part.
That's what you could call it, yes.
Yeah. Who knows? Sometimes there's so many people. Who knows?
Did you buy, Yager, did you buy one of those candles from Goop, the vagina scented candles, by any chance?
It isn't. Who? The room already smells.
What? Okay, so you don't have to do that.
Why would I light the candle for all your
reasons? Just for something that's already right there. Yes, you don't have to worry about that. That is something that exists.
It smells like sweat. Yes.
It smells like latex. Just kidding. I like how there was a guy coming into a Costco with a bunch of rubbers.
Yeah, I know.
What are you, like 11?
And coconut oil.
Wearing rubber. When was the last time you wore a rubber?
It's a responsible thing to do.
I think the last time I wore a rubber was in high school.
Are you really anti-rubber?
Yes, it's a fraud. It's big latex. All right. We'll be right back. We'll find out. Scott Zolak's in studio. We will find out what they have going on. Rubbish. 985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I've been informed that the new Curb Your Enthusiasm focuses on the New York Jets, which it has before. I am going through in sequential order Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay. I'm about four seasons behind on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes, I'm like six seasons behind.
The new Better Call Saul season is unreal. It's phenomenal. It's the best show on TV right now.
Yeah, if you're a nerd.
It's almost breaking Bad level. I would say that this season is Breaking Bad level.
You know what? I Maroon 5 is like falling into a bucket of daisies while young cherubs dance at your feet.
Isn't it, though?
That's how I describe the five and what they do to me.
Why is he here?
What's that?
Why is he here?
Who?
I guess Sarge is doing headlines.
Yeah. You on our show?
Is Sarge, sick? Was your sign
is Hardy sick?
Hardy's not sick. It was a planned day off.
Okay.
Damn it.
They said we were supposed to have McCone.
Sarge, your sign was confiscated? Your Sarge Suck sign? Why were none of the other Sarge Suck signs confiscated? Yeah, like a bunch of Sarge Sucks guys got through. They put under their shirt.
Well, you can apologize to Kelly because she was the one who took her time to make the sign.
Did they tell you why they didn't allow a Sarge Sucks sign in there? Yeah, come on in. Sure. Why not?
This guy's putting his head in his hand.
We'll talk through the headlines.
We still have 2 minutes, you know, and then Zoe. Okay, so what did they tell you, Sarge? Like, because everyone else, well, a lot of other people seem to get a Sarge Sucks sign. And how come they?
Yeah, so Joe Murray had them at the.
How you doing, Zoe?
Hi, Mike.
So Joe brought in the Wallach one, and he had the Sarge Sucks one with my face on it. Me and Andy Wong go past security.
Oh, my God.
Shut up, Zoe. We go past security, and all of a sudden, we're like, where's Joe Murray? 10 minutes later, he's being questioned by security with the sign. Like, what does that say? And we're like, Joe, we got to get in there. And he just comes in without the sign. And I'm like, what happened? And they go, you confiscated it because there was profanity.
Yeah, I can understand that.
So,
because a lot of little kids that watch it.
Yeah. Sucks is a profanity?
Listen,
sucks,
it's yeah, but I can Rich, see that. So what happened was the other guys who wasted $500 on my thing, which I thought was hysterical, by the Bobby Orr sign, they're handing them out.
Yeah.
They caught wind of it from Chief Wannabe or whatever. And
Chief Wannabe Cheer. He's the one who ended up making all those signs.
And Lucci Creep or whatever. So they put them out there. And they're like, yeah, make sure you put them underneath your shirt because they're being confiscated. So some got them in. And I actually got one. Someone gave them to me at the Kowloon afterwards. I have one.
Yeah.
And I signed it for a kid, so it was pretty cool. But but no, we tried. We tried. And we were on TV with the John Cena segment. We got John 316 on there with your face.
I know.
But I'm going to tell you, Joe Murray, he was like the governor. He was holding it up in the concourse, his little grin. People were going over, hey, Joe, bankroll boy, can we get a little pic and everything?
Yeah. So, it was good, man. Did you see the video of Jay Stu jumping around when Daniel Bryan came out?
Oh, yeah, but the part of the problem was Jay Stu had the actual Yes shirt on, and that's Dan Bryan, Daniel Bryan's
and
thing.
And the two of them were doing it together.
He was actually going over to, I think, shake Jay Stu's hand, and he got a look at Jay Stu.
Yeah.
And the hand went at Jay Stu and off to the right to a little kid.
Sarge, Jimmy was a kid on Christmas Day. So it was unbelievable.
Sarge, did any wrestlers go to Kowloon?
Yes. If you look at my Instagram, at SargeNA5, I got a picture of Braun Strowman. He was holding the Intercontinental Championship. We all held it. So it was a good time.
Was there anyone else?
That was really it.
Marshall Hook's really perplexed by you right now.
Where is he?
He's been trolling you on Twitter, boy.
Who's Marshall Hook?
See what we have for 4 hours?
There you go.
How much you charge that kid to sign a sign for you?
No charge from the Sarge.
There he is.
All right.
That's all I needed.
That'll do it for us. Everyone enjoy the next 4 hours. That'll do it for us. Bye.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helpline ma.org.